is the one who yawned the nominee, huh? Oh, singing is new, one of them singing, huh? Then who else? Oh, she's going off to Denmark, okay. Then Aliana also going off to US. Yeah. Go. Go and light. One light candle, one light incense. Then we can get ready for puja offering. We should learn to rejoice. Yeah. Oh, I love the sound. Susan, your passport is in England, huh? Yeah. No, use the lighter, Ken. Use the lighter. Where's the lighter? Okay, sad. Okay, we can all stand, get ready to make puja offering. So you can, is there a tray? Yeah. Bring up the whole tray. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Don't worry. Sadhu. 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 Sad. 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 Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated, then we can start our puja. Oh, okay. So, develop the sadha, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then maintain some form of virya. Then pay respect mindfully while we pay our respect to Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn the page more of the chanting book. Then we will do the puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja, which is the offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena ditena tamadangsena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mettena ca hotu mokkhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hotu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We shall do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthens our faith and constantly reminds us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Now we will make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we end our pre-puja. Budang Pujami. Damang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, thank you. So now you can be seated. Then we can continue with our next program, which is the meditation itself. Today nobody is first time here. Good. I got one. Who is it? Oh, who is the one first time here? Oh, oh, you came to Tuesday class before. No problem. I went to Padmasuri's house before, so she is already okay. I forgot her name every time. Joanna, is it? So she has been to our class before, but to Suyan's house, this is the first time. Okay, so everybody already familiar with what we're supposed to do. So tonight, we can straight away off the light, then you can develop your meditation. What I will do is I will just give you very short instruction. In fact, you only need to remember what we went through last Thursday. Everything is in the board up there. The main purpose of coming here is to train our mind to develop heedfulness. This is the most important quality of mind that you need to develop. To be heedful, you must develop the five spiritual faculties so that you can overcome the five hindrances. And to do it, there are many skillful means. If you still have the hindrance, you need to decondition it. Then you use the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then after that, you stabilize it through anapanasati or any meditation object that you are familiar with. Then after that, you just silent everything. This is the training that you need to do while you are in a formal meditation or in a retreat, so that you can develop this stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then the real meditation is, as I always explain, you have to use this trained mind state of continuous mindfulness or when you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So you can combine these two, you have what the Buddha called heedfulness or appamada. So appamada in daily life is the real meditation. So this is what you need to understand. So our main intention here is to train the mind. If you have not yet trained the mind, this meditation cannot take off. Then what normally people do is they use concentration, focusing, and all those other type of skillful means. But if they do it without understanding, then they will not progress. They can get stuck. Because every time they go for formal meditation or sitting meditation, they only develop the calmness, the peace, the energy field. Then they want to know whether I do it correct or not. But that is not the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is to train your mind to be heedful. Are you doing that? If you are not doing that, then you are not really doing it with understanding. Means you cannot progress. When you are heedful, that is the beginning. Then after you use that heedfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, that is the real cultivation and the real movement. So whole of meditation, when you understand, you will know what to do. But when you don't understand, you can be quite lost. So tonight, we were off the light. Then for those who need to train your mind, you train. For those that need to decondition your heedless thinking, you can use the mind sweeping method. followed by metta. It will help you to develop what they call the slowing down of your heedless thinking, or decondition your heedless thinking. And when you don't develop that heedless thinking, you become more peaceful, more calm. Then the inner peace will help you to develop mindfulness. With inner peace, you need inner well-being. To develop inner well-being, you have to radiate love and metta, starting with yourself. That's why we always radiate a radiant smile, facing a mirror. Then you can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Then when you start to feel deep inside your heart, all this well-being and happiness within your own form and mind, each and every cells within your physical body and your mental states of being, then you become more peaceful, more calm, and you have a lot of inner peace leading to inner well-being. And this will help you to develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, to be calm, to be aware, so that it will not be heedless anymore. It will help you to stabilize that peace within. The peace within, as you relax and stabilize it, it becomes very quiet, very still. Initially, that mindfulness can help you to tranquilize your body and mind until you become very peaceful, very quiet, very still. Then you experience piti, a type of spiritual peace, or spiritual joy, born of the mind that is in sati, without thought. Then as you relax more into it, deep into it, piti can transform to sukha. Sukha is another more refined state of spiritual peace, spiritual calmness. Then it becomes very blissful. That's why it accumulates into sukha. Then as you continue to relax and silence, sukha can continue to transform into what the Buddha called pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, without any movement or thought. When you can do that, your mind will have become very subtle, very peaceful and very quiet. Then all of your object of meditation also will become very quiet and very peaceful. So during that time, you don't try to do anything. You just allow it to be relaxed deep into it and just maintain silent within. Then sooner or later, as you stabilize this, it will become very calm, very peaceful, and pasati will accumulate into the meditative mind of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner stillness. Then during that time, you just silent and relax. Then the sati, that mindfulness or that pasati, it can understand many, many things. It can be aware of many, many things, because this is your true mind. Before the arising of thought, before the arising of the conditioned arising mind, mundane mind, thinking mind, all this is part of meditation when you are able to silence your mind. And within that silence, it can develop a lot of understanding. Then all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught us, you will start to witness them arising and passing away within your own form and mind, within your own physical bodies, physical sense and mental, the six sense door. You will start to experience the sense door consciousness, and you will start to relate to them clearly, and you will understand what the Buddha meant by the dependent origination of Patijasamuppanna, the dwelling. That explains how you function as a human being, how you form a mind, dependent on certain thing, condition, the arising of certain thing. The first tooling is very important. It is about ignorance, avijja. Avijja is very powerful. Ignorant of the truth, ignorant of what is going on. Ignorant because there is sakyadity or self-delusion. So when you have all this within your conditioning or your mind state, then you will start to develop wrong view. Then your mind will start to think differently. Yeah? It will start to hold, grasp and cling on to all mental phenomena, mental consciousness. Then when consciousness arises because of your wrong view, your conditioning, it will start to input all the wrong content. And all this constitute evil roots, the greed, hatred and delusion within, the hindrance of mind, the five hindrance. All this can arise because your spiritual faculty are not stable. So our puja is to help us develop the spiritual faculty. Our chanting, our reflection and contemplation on the essential Dhamma of the Buddha is to allow us to develop the spiritual faculty. Starting with sadha, virya, then we train our mind to have sati. Then we stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. Then when there is sati and samadhi, it can see things as they are. It can awaken the individual, the form and mind, to understand clearly the reality of all phenomenal world and existence. Their universal characteristics, you can insight into them. And through that understanding, you develop wisdom, which is the last spiritual faculty. With wisdom, your mind is no longer deluded. There is stability. There is equanimity, and the mind that has the enlightenment factor, equanimity, does not stir, does not react, does not move. It will have the ability to be collected and unwavering, and such a mind is always at peace, no matter what happens, anywhere, any place, any time, regardless of the condition, it will be peaceful. Such a mind is the meditative mind. Such a mind that has developed the understanding is always peaceful. So the sole purpose of this meditation, which we call vipassana, is to insight into the universal characteristics of all phenomena, so that we can understand clearly the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self and empty nature. In Pali it's called anicchang, dukkang and anatta. Okay, with this I will allow you to continue the meditation on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. Today I will let you meditate longer. Okay, good. Okay. When you still want to meditate, you can continue. When you open up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you have trained, and you need to use them to develop the daily mindfulness so that you can be in this state of awareness or heedfulness in the midst of life. Then anchor it to the four foundations of mindfulness. Then use it to cultivate the mind. Once you develop the four foundations of mindfulness, you are moving into the daily life, daily mindfulness. After you have trained your mind, the Buddha said, you should stabilize it in anapanasati. After that, develop the mindfulness of your four postures. Then develop mindfulness of the connecting process of the four postures, which is the mindfulness in daily life. You need to maintain constant awareness or mindfulness in the midst of life, ever mindful. My teacher used this simplified statement, which is very good. He said, we choose aware all action, all movement in the present moment, and that is the highest meditation. So you can do that. That is the real daily mindfulness. Every moment, every instant, every action and every movement, you anchor to your kaya aware. If you develop this kaya anupassana very well, you will understand the Dhamma very clearly. Your mind will just slow down, like no more heedless, until it becomes so peaceful, so quiet, just aware within most of the time. And when the mind is no longer proliferating, heedless and thinking, lost in thought, it is heedful, it is aware. And such a mind can meditate, can develop the understanding. Okay, now we will turn to the chanting book, page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then after that, we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacantu devata saddhamman munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandhata Dhamma svanan kalo ayang bandhata. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang bandhata. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. इतिपिसो भगवा अरहं सम्मा संबुद्धो जाचरण संपन्नो सुगतो लोकविदो अनुत्तरो पुरिस धम्म सारथि सत्ता देव मनुसानं बुद्धो भगवति स्वकातो भगवता धम्मो सन्दितिको अकालिको हिपासिको ओपनयिको पाचेतं वेदितात्मो नोहिति पतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो उजुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो न्यायपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो सामीचीपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो यदिदं चत्तरि उसयुक्कानि अत पुरिस पूगला एस भगवतो सावकसंगो आहुनेयो पाहुनेयो दाक्षिणेयो अञ्जलिकरणेयो अनुत्तरं पुण्याकेतं लोकसति साधु 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 Here we all pay respect to the Triple Jam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Okay. Is Wendy here? Oh no, Christina also not here. So I keep the passport. You pass to them, huh? Okay, thank you. Okay. So now we shall continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, huh? Followed by whatever question and answer session that you can develop, huh? You can ask me any question with regards to the meditation or the teaching, and also how to apply what you have learned here in the Buddha Dhamma to help you develop the understanding of life so that you can overcome all of your so-called problems of life. Okay, so tonight, who wants to report their meditation? They used to tell me in the West, a lot of hand will come out. So here, Asian different, culture very different. Come on, just make full use of the whatever time we have. You just have to report sincerely what happened. Then after that, you got question you can ask. Otherwise, I can explain to you. So far, are you clear about what you have to develop while you are here? Maybe we use this as a revision. Okay, tell me, what is it that you are doing when you are sitting down here? What is your understanding of the teaching? Pang smiling. Very good. Sadhu, training the mind to be heedful. So this is the most important We have gone through, isn't it? Okay, we get Pang to repeat on the mic so that it's recorded.
Yeah, the purpose we are here doing sitting meditation is to train the mind to be heedful.
Very good. Why must we do that? Because if you look at the teaching, everywhere you find this very important message. The first part that the Buddha mentioned very clearly is before he passed away into Parinibbana, the last instruction to all the monks. What did the Buddha say? Apamadena sampadeta. What is the meaning? Strive on with heedfulness. See, before he died, he still reminded the monk. Then, where else did the Buddha mention about the importance of heedfulness within his teaching? His Dhammapada verse, is it? Which verse is it? Verse 21, 22, and 23. Dhammapada verse 21 is what? They are the first three verses of the Appamadavagga, means the section on heedfulness. The first 220 is on the twin verse. Then 21 to 40 is the Appamadavagga. Appamada is heedfulness, the section on heedfulness. And the first three are the most important. Verse 21, what did the Buddha say? Heedfulness is the path to the what? Deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. Remember? You want to be heedful or heedless? Which do you choose? You definitely want to be heedful, right? Because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You will never die. For the heedful will never die. Whereas the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. It means you totally don't have a chance at all with regards to the spiritual training, the spiritual life. Even though you exist through life, you are just conscious of life. You are not living life. You are not heedful. You are not mindful. So when you are heedless, even though you exist, you are as if dead. So that is a very powerful statement. It should wake you up. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So if you want to be awake, which is not heedless, then you have to train your mind. You have to develop this quality of heedfulness. So Dhammapada verse 21 is very clear. Then Dhammapada verse 22, the Buddha re-emphasized the importance of heedfulness. He said the wise, distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, they intend on what? They intend on what? The wise one intend on what? When you understand the big difference between these two, they intend on heedfulness, isn't it? And when they do that, what happened? They were what? They were rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas, which is the enlightened beings. So this one confirmed to you again, if you are the wise one, you have wisdom, you will intend on heedfulness throughout the day. You want to train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate this teaching, so that you are heedful, otherwise you are as if dead. So if you are only heedful or mindful when you are doing sitting meditation or in a retreat, not much use, because after the class, if you are throughout the day in the daily life heedless, then you go back to square one. You are as if dead. That's why no amount of retreat can really help you if you don't stabilize it when you are at the retreat. or no amount of this Tuesday class, Thursday class can help you unless you stabilize your understanding, then train hard so that this mindfulness can become stable. Then bring forth this mind state into the daily life. Then only you can progress. Otherwise, you cannot progress. Then Dhammapada verse 23 confirm 100% the importance of heedfulness. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful, if you hold on to this state of mind steadfastly, you will realize the bond-free state of enlightenment called Nibbana. So this is all very clearly stated in his teaching. Dhammapada verse 23 is the most precise and the most clear, and that defines heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. And if you hold on to this practice steadfastly, you will realize the one free state of Nibbana. So you look at the whiteboard. Yeah? This is what heedfulness is all about. There are two parts within heedfulness. First is ever mindful. And you have to develop this training until you are able to be mindful in the midst of life. And this is the first part. That's why when you come for meditation, you train your mind to be ever mindful. Then you stabilize it to become ever mindful. So here I have put in the explanation. You train the mind to be ever mindful means when sati is developed, you stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. So here is the pointer. Stabilize it to become ever mindful. This is very important. Then after that, you use it to meditate. Cultivate noble eightfold path. And within noble eightfold path, we have samasati perfecta, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. That four foundation of mindfulness is actually only one of the perfecta. But the last cultivation, the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, the last category of practice, is to develop mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That one actually covers the Noble Eightfold Path, because that one involves the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, and that is the complete cultivation. So finally, you will come back to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, which will include the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. And when you combine these two, you develop what they call apamada or heedfulness. So the whole of meditation center on this. If you look at the four important support for meditation, this is awareness-based meditation, then you will come to understand the importance of relaxing yourself into every mind state. That's why before you start, body and mind relax. Then as you meditate, when you develop calmness, peacefulness, or concentration, you have to relax into it. Otherwise, it becomes samatha. It will develop into focusing, concentration. Then it becomes energy field. So when you relax into it, every mind state become different. There is clarity. There is no more focusing. There is just silence within samadhi. Sati and samadhi. But there is no apada samadhi, which is absorption, concentration. When you relax into every mind state that arises, your mind becomes different. Your mind doesn't go into absorption. It doesn't go into a conditioned state where it is conditioned into very calm state or very unnatural. Unnatural means it's not a free mind. Then during this state of calmness, you suppress your mental hindrance. So when your mental hindrance of sensual desire, you will sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. When they are being suppressed, it's as if you are enlightened or peaceful. Because when they are being suppressed, they don't arise. And when they don't arise, it does not hinder your mind state from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you still have that calm mind, the still mind, the silent mind, the mind that is in absorption, one-pointedness. And most of these cultivators end up in the energy field. But this one, the five hindrances are still suppressed, not rooted out. That's why end of the day, as they get old, as they lose their ability to maintain that absorption or concentration or that one-pointedness, jhana, they will come to realize that the hindrance are still there, the latent tendency, they are still there, not rooted out. And that, at that time, their mind will fall. They will develop a lot of suffering, unhappiness. Then they realize their mind is still not transformed, not liberated. They only have knowledge they cannot deal. They still don't understand clearly what that form of mind is all about. They have yet to develop the real insight or wisdom, penetrative wisdom, to awake or to awaken to the three characteristics of nature, which is impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. So apamada here is most important because it is heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And to be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful. That's what we are doing here. So forget about your old habit. Most meditators, they fail to understand this and they get lost in it and trapped. There are many who has asked me the same question even after a long time of meditation. I think last Thursday or so, two or three Kayanamita from the Klang side, they also asked me the same question. They say, relative, when I meditate, I develop a lot of this movement, vibration and all those things. And the other one say, my mind is like, I think it's very quiet, I don't know what. Then the next question, you know what she asked, am I doing it correctly or not? I say, how am I going to answer you when you still don't understand why you sit here and meditate? And what are your purpose and focus? It's not about training your mind to be peaceful, to be calm. It's not about whether there is movement, energy, you see light, or you are able to enter into certain very beautiful meditative state. Well, all these are not important. All these are mainly what they call samatha meditation or habitual tendency that meditators do when they don't understand the focus of meditation, when they don't really understand what the Buddha emphasized on. Because if you continue to sit and then just become curious about what happened and keep on asking those few questions, means you don't understand. You get the point, huh? Because you are not training your mind to be mindful and aware. Then when I ask her, Then she looked at me. Then after that, I said, thank you, thank you. I don't know whether she got it or not. Thank you, means what? The first thing you have to ask yourself is, when I sit, do I need to train my mind? Or am I already heedful, mindful? If your spiritual faculty is already stable, you don't need to train. You don't need to do the mind-sweeping method. You don't have to actually develop even metta. Metta will come by itself. The deconditioning, all you don't have to do. You can skip. Because once the spiritual faculty is there, especially when you have stabilized it, there is no more hindrance. You straight away sit. Immediately you go into a meditative state and you become very quiet, very still, silent. Then during that meditation, you understand many, many things. You understand how you function as a human being. You understand how your mind state arises and pass away. How upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then within the consciousness, there is this content of consciousness. The universal, seven universal that come with every type of consciousness, they are there. And one of them is contact. That's why upon contact, feeling arise. So all this, you will start to see. And when feeling arise, because of your delusion, wrong view, you cannot develop the stability of it. You don't have equanimity of mind. This mind will stir. That's why upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling, condition, craving. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. So craving will definitely be there unless you have already developed the wisdom. Yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this understanding is very important. You fall back to the question, do I need to train my mind? If I need, am I training my mind? After you have trained your mind, have you developed the ability to stabilize it? Then after that, can you carry this mind state which is trained with the spiritual faculties into the daily life to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path? Then only you actually understand the meditation. Then you slowly develop this ability to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then from here, like the Buddha said, the moment you are heedful, it's like you already home, or like you strike lottery. Why? The heedful never die. That's why the heedful is destined for enlightenment. The ever mindful and constantly meditative, they will realize the bond free Nibbana. And it's as simple as that. And yet, meditator, cultivator, and many, many Buddhists don't understand this. They look for all the big words. Vipassana, jhana, then what they call samatha. Then they want to see light. They want to see all the fantastic meditation. They hold on to the piti, the sukha, the fantastic manifestation. Then they say they can read mind and all those things. Then they are very excited with a lot of happening. Then some can levitate, can float, can go through wall and all those things. So what? If you can do all those things, but you still don't have the wisdom to understand life and to live life, and you still have suffering, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha lead to understanding, lead to wisdom, leads to the ability of the mind to be at peace with all situations so that there is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow and lamentation, no more suffering, no matter what happened in the midst of life. And that is the real progress. You can develop that wisdom, that awakening, then you become beautiful. Then you can live the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. So the three phases of Dhamma, they all tie in with the meditation. Yeah. Then the four support for awareness-based meditation is very important. First, you relax into every mind state that arises. Then after that, you maintain the awareness for as long as you can. So this maintenance of awareness is just silent within. Don't try to do anything, just aware. When you are silent, within the silent, there is the meditative mind, there is the true mind, and that one can understand. That one can awaken, can insight into phenomena, can realize the truth. And that is the one that can understand and develop the meditation. So this is the most important mind state, awareness, which is the silent mind, which is paucity actually, the enlightenment factor of paucity, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And you have to be throughout the day with this mind state if you are really cultivating heedfulness, ever mindful. That's why here 24 hours means 24 hours of mindfulness, ever mindful. 24 hours means continuous heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. During the training, you need to be very, very meticulous and very serious about that cultivation. You cannot afford to be heedless. But after you have developed the awakening, the understanding, then you don't need to do, just like the Buddha said, you are beyond training, you no need to train. But because you have developed the understanding and the awakening, the spiritual faculty has become very stable. And throughout the day, these five spiritual faculty, they are really a part of you. And because of that, you will be ever mindful, naturally. That's why you will be in your natural state of heedfulness throughout the day, even while doing your daily life, moving around, relaxing, working, or playing games, or even when you lie down to sleep or rest. Your state is heedfulness. There is clarity. There is mindfulness. There is awareness. There is just silence within. Then the understanding prevents this form of mind from being deluded. And because of that, this form of mind will never be deluded by whatever that arises within the conditional. And this form of mind will not have any more delusion. That's why it does not suffer anymore. It's not deluded by what it sees, what it hears, what it smells, what it tastes, what it tactile feel and think. So this is what that meditation is all about. Then after you have gone through the first three support, which is relaxed awareness and 24 hours, finally, for those who go the Bodhisattva way, you have to understand the fourth support. The fourth support is trust. Trust means no more thought-based meditation, no more using the mind. You completely let the nature do the meditation. You just silent, relax, and aware. And just stay at the heart area. The movement will happen by itself. Then later on, with that awakening and realization, the cessation of form and mind leading to the realization of Nibbana will happen by itself. So this is also another important pointer. When you develop the second support of awareness, don't try to know. Don't go and ask yourself, am I doing it correctly or not? That is doubt, understand? That is the thought chattering, verbalizing. Forget about it. The thought must cease for you to be aware. That's why you just relax into it, silent. And the real meditation is effortless, silent. Yeah. Okay? If this is clear, then you will progress very fast. So this is something that you have to constantly remind yourself. If you can, you take out a piece of paper on the book, write down. If you cannot write down all this without looking at the notes, initially, when you cannot recall, you read the note. It's okay. But then after that, train, practice. First, phase one of the Dhamma, Pariyatti. What is it? Learning of the teaching, doctrine. And that one, that's why you learn. If you don't understand, how can you cultivate? Kriyana, how can you move to phase two? Phase two is putting that teaching that you have developed, the understanding, into practice in daily life. So putting the Dhamma into practice in daily life. Phase one also you haven't developed. Learning the doctrine. So you have to go and write it down. That's why all the essential Dhamma, you have to write it down and ask yourself, why did the Buddha say the three evil roots is greed, hatred, and delusion? You write it down. Then what is greed? You have to reflect and contemplate. Then write it down. Then only you progress. If you don't even know what they are, I ask you a very simple question. How can you cultivate Dhammanupassana, the four foundation of mindfulness? Dhammanupassana is all about the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. And the Dhamma also you are not clear. How can you be mindful of something that you don't even quite understand? And the worst is, what is mindfulness also people don't know? And they go and use the various type of thought-based meditation to note and do all those things. That's why it's very difficult for people who don't have the understanding to progress along the path of Dhamma, to truly penetrate the teaching that the Buddha has proclaimed. Okay? So hopefully, with this sharing, you can develop clearer understanding. And this one can help you a lot. That's why you take out a piece of paper. Mimi used to do that. That's why she learned very fast. If you cannot write it down, chances is you don't understand yet. Then even some Kayamita, after they reflect, contemplate, and write it down, then they realize all this understanding is there. It flow out naturally. So when they sit, they are very clear about what they are doing down there. They are not like normal what they call meditator or cultivator anymore. Most people come, when they do meditation, you know what they do. First thing what they do. Last time you all went through the method technique. You look for method technique. Then you try to do that method and technique. Then you try to note this, note that, and all those things. But nobody explained to you, why are you doing all these things? That's why you don't develop the understanding of it and you just simply follow instruction and do. You become gullible. That's why the next transcript book that we are going to come out with, I think I almost finished already. I have got the last feedback from Sister Susan. Then now I'm finalizing it. Then after that, I will send to Brother Tim. Where is Brother Tim? I will resend to you this final copy. The content, I have incorporated what you have put in there. But I improve on it further because the continuation of 3.2.4.5 on the last category of practice, it's still in the Q&A. I took it up. So that the Q&A, the 4.1 until 4.16, tally with all the questions. So now it has become a lot more neater. Then the flow is much better now. But we still need you all to have a final check, the proofreading. By tomorrow, I think I should be able to send it out. So our target is end of the month. I think still in time. This one, the four foundation of mindfulness, the final summary, it was our last class at Wu Ping Ching Se. And that day, the condition was very good. And because I need to summarize a whole lot of four foundations of mindfulness practice. The condition just arose for me to explain all these things. Yeah. What I just explained to you, they are all inside there. Yeah? So you don't have to remember them. And moreover, it's recorded. But when that transcript come out, you go through and read. Then you understand. Because that one make it very clear. If you don't follow this understanding and meditate, it's very difficult for people to progress. Because if you don't train your mind to be heedful, to be ever mindful, the first factor of enlightenment, which is sati, also you don't have. So when the factors of enlightenment are not there, in that transcript I ask the question, I said, you can easily conclude what will happen. If the first factor of enlightenment or sati also not there, how you expect to be enlightened? The other six factor of enlightenment are completely not there. Then if you do concentration, energy field, you may have the five jhanic factor. Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. Of these five, only piti is an enlightenment factor. But piti alone, as an enlightenment factor, is of not much use. Because you don't have sati. You cannot investigate Dhamma, the second enlightenment factor. And when you cannot investigate Dhamma, your spiritual faculty cannot be strong. You cannot become like very, very convinced that what the Buddha taught is really the true teaching. And your faith cannot be unshakable because of that. So when you have sati, only you can investigate into the teaching, the Dhamma. All of the Dhammapadavas, the essential Dhamma. Then when you realize that they stand up to investigation, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable. Then later on, when you are able to insight into phenomena and develop the true understanding of the universal characteristic, your wisdom arises. Then that spiritual faculty, which also have most of the enlightenment factor there, they become unshakable. Yeah. So sati is within the spiritual faculty, first enlightenment factor. Then after they use it to investigate Dhamma, your faith become unshakable. And when your faith become unshakable, it will drive you to cultivate. Virya is also enlightenment factor. Then when virya is there, sati samadhi will stabilize. Then you develop wisdom, which will bring about the last enlightenment factor, which is equanimity, upekkha. Yeah. So when factors of enlightenment are not with you throughout the day or most of the time, forget about enlightenment. That's why under Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, the fourth category of practice, after the first category, which is mindfulness of the five hindrances, the first category of essential Dhamma, then you have to meditate on mindfulness or the five aggregate of form and mind. You have to understand them. Yeah. All the aggregate. Yeah. Such is form. Such is the origination of form. Such is the cessation of form. Then Vedana, feeling. Then Sanya. Then Sankara. Then Vijnana. So all these five, you have to see them, understand them, how they arise, how they disappear, and what are they. That's why you have to learn to see form, learn to see the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. Then only you can understand them clearly, the three universal characteristics. That's why all these categories of Dhamma you got to go through. Then after that, you have to develop the understanding of how you become what you are. So the Buddha said you have to train your mind to develop the third category of practice, which is mindfulness of your six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Means sense door consciousness, how you function as a human being, how through your six sense door your mind stir and react to sense experience, and how you get yourself entangled and develop all the suffering the fear, the insecurity, sorrow and lamenting, all this. So when you start to see that, then you understand through the direct seeing, through the daily mindfulness, then you will be able to retrospectively reverse them. Before you understand, you cannot. Then when you can do that, you develop wisdom. Then when you develop wisdom and understanding, then you realize, because of the understanding, you straighten your views. Then you are no longer deluded. Then avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. Then the dependent origination, they weaken. And when dependent origination weaken, the spiritual faculty leading to the enlightenment factor, they keep on arising. Yeah. Because when you train until the third category of cultivation under the fourth foundation, which is mindfulness of the internal six and external six sense bases, which means you are ever mindful throughout the day. Otherwise, you cannot do this third category. Because when you are in the midst of life, in your daily life, your senses, they are fully engaged, they are fully active. And if you don't have the stability of mindfulness, you cannot cope with life. Every moment of sense experience, so much thing is going on within your mind state. If you don't have the stability of mindfulness and heedfulness, you totally cannot cope. Then forget about the meditation. So after you have done it, then only the enlightenment factors come to be. That's why the fourth category of practice, just now I was trying to talk about, is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. When you can throughout the day be aware that the unarisen enlightenment factor or sati has already arisen. So you will come to understand how the unarisen enlightenment factor or sati comes to be. Then how it stabilizes completion by culture, you will understand that this sati, they will never disappear from you. That's why it's an enlightenment factor that can make you enlightened. Then when this sati is very stable, you can use it to investigate Dhamma. Then you will come to know how the unarisen Dhamma Vichaya, which is the second enlightenment factor of Dhamma investigation, comes to be. And it is through all this cultivation that you will come to understand that the constantly meditative, ever mindful, means the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the second turning. That's why my teacher always say we choose contemplate, reflect, and inquire until the Dhamma is very, very clear. And that is what Dhamma investigation is all about. You investigate into all these things. Then when it stand up to investigation, you have so much joy. And joy is what? Pity. That's why pity is the third enlightenment factor. After it stand up to investigation, you have virya. Virya, the spiritual zeal drive you. Then because of virya, you will cultivate until your what they call sati become very stable. Then when sati become very stable, piti will arise. There's a lot of joy, a lot of spiritual calmness and peace within. So piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then when piti arise, you continue to relax into it, silence your mind. Piti will transform, become more refined. Initially, you will go through sukha, which is a very blissful state of mind. But because your enlightenment factors are there, you will not get trapped. You will be able to continue to relax into it until it becomes pasati. And most of the time, this pasati will accumulate into samadhi. Because as pasati develops, you will have the ability to see things as they are very clearly. You will insight into phenomena. Then the understanding, the wisdom will give rise to some form of stability of mind. When avijja weaken, when you straighten your view, avijja paccaya sankhara become weakened. then you think less, then there is more and more clarity. Then that mind state develop what they call samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So this mind no longer like before, stir, waver. Yeah. It has become collected, unwavering. And through that, in the midst of life, in daily life, you will be able to have the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. Not with your conditioning, not with your memory, not with what your thought tell you, your wrong view and all those things. Then you see them for what they are. You see things as they are. You will awaken to the truth, their universal characteristic. And because of that, you become wise, no longer deluded. Wisdom will arise. And when wisdom arises, equanimity, the last enlightenment factor, they will manifest. And this one is not energy field. This one is not a conditioned state. This is born of wisdom. Equanimity born of wisdom. Not born of energy field or conditioned state. Your mind is not in absorption or concentration, apana samadhi, no. The hindrances are not suppressed because it's a free mind. A free mind that has the wisdom can root out the defilement, can root out the hindrance. That's why the moment you root it out, that former mind is no longer deluded. Then, like the Buddha said, that form of mind, because it's connected to that awakening or that wisdom, that form of mind is no longer deluded. And because of that, that form of mind, which is the living being or the human being, will not have to suffer anymore. And that is what enlightenment is all about. The form of mind, you can say, become enlightened. But that one is not you. That one is a condition arising entity, karmically conditional, for you to use, for you to develop the cultivation, and for you to live life. So it is a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditional, for you to use, to live, to experience. So when you are no longer deluded by that, then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Then the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, the result of your hard work, the fruition of your hard work, the fruition of your heedfulness, strive on with heedfulness, you will reap the reward. And you get to live that third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, to experience the life of enlightened being. That is the most beautiful part of your life. You can live life without fear, worry, anxiety, without suffering. And your mind state is always so beautiful, so peaceful, so serene, so calm, so still, full of understanding. And you are the embodiment of a noble one. You have this Noble Eightfold Path completely developed within you. You hold the embodiment of the Buddha Dharma, the whole of the teaching. That's why you can develop this understanding. And all living being has that potential. So you only need to train, strive on with heedfulness. That's it. So not that difficult, huh? Only one word, heedfulness. If you already understand, then you are destined for enlightenment. That's why I say you like strike lottery. The moment you are heedful, you are home, finished. Okay? So not that difficult. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So after I explain, you got half an hour to ask questions if you want to. Or report your meditation. Anybody got any question? Or want to clarify anything? You can make full use of that time. While I take a drink. Oh, brother, they want to go washroom. I thought you want to ask question. Anybody? Huh? Why so difficult to put up the hand? Huh? Learn to be more confident. Huh? You got nothing to lose there. Who will pinch it? The thought pinch it, not you. When you put up your hand, you actually cultivate confidence in yourself. Then you make use of this opportunity to express yourself. Brother Pang,
I want to clarify one portion of your explanation in the green book.
Very good, okay.
Who you are, what you are.
Yes, that was a very good book.
I read the book. There's one portion where you mention about the karmic self,
the karmic nature,
and your
spiritual
true
nature. Spiritual nature or true nature.
And you did mention that, you know, when you come to connect to your true nature, you said the problem is not everybody has cultivated to the point where the true nature is perfect.
It depends. You finish all your questions.
Maybe you can just clarify on that portion, because as I read, you know, and I tried to contemplate on it.
I know.
You know,
in fact, quite a number of Kayanamita ask me about that part because they can't understand. They are not sure, not to say they can't understand. And they knew that this is something that they need to clarify. That's why you ask, which is very good. You see, you remember the green book? The title is what? Who are you? What are you? Remember? I only know how to draw this cartoon. So, you cannot deny that this is what you are initially, as a human being. And the Buddha said, this one is the five aggregates of form and mind. So what is this? You cannot deny you have a physical form, isn't it? That's why you have a physical body form. Then you have a consciousness, which is mind. So this one is the five aggregate of form and mind. And this one, the Buddha said, is not you. But the Buddha said, this one, they are subject to nature's law. This one is born of what? Born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if karma plays such a great role in your form and mind, which is what you are, what must you do? Take care of karma. You know, take care. But how to do it? And are you doing it? Is the next question. So, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Be heedful. Dhammapada verse 183 means what? Train your mind to be ever mindful to avoid all evil. Do good and purify your mind. And that is how you take care of karma. So, how to train your mind to avoid all evil? That's why you have to have mindfulness to be aware of your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought, which constitute karma, understand? That's why when you renew your precept, the five precepts, you are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid evil. Because all those five precepts you check, Who are the one who violate this precept? They are people with the evil roots, root of all evil. That's why that violation of this precept constitutes evil. That's why you have to avoid all evil. You have to keep the precept. Then you have to cultivate wholesomeness. Avoid all evil, do good. Do good means cultivate noble eightfold path. When there is noble eightfold path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how you take care of your karma. That's how you develop wholesomeness, blessings, and merits. That's how you invoke the aspiration by the power of this wholesomeness and merits. You invoke the power of merits and aspiration for you to walk the path of Dhamma, for causes and conditions to arise. And this is how the whole of the cultivation come about. Then when you follow the third advice to purify your mind, is to develop the wisdom so that you are not deluded by this. So that you do not gullibly grasp and cling onto this, thinking that it's you. Otherwise you become miserable, you suffer. The third advice to purify your mind, to awaken, is to develop the wisdom not to be confused. So now, the question by Brother Pang is very good. He said, in the book I mentioned, there is a karmic nature. You know what is karmic nature? Every one of us, we have a karmic nature. This karmic nature is a summation. Those who are mathematics-based or science-based, they know this sign, summation. Summation of all your good and bad action, positive and negative action. Every life, when you take birth, every moment, every instant, the moment to moment that you arise through existence, each and every of these thought moments, you create wholesome and unwholesome mind state. You create karma. That's why this one accumulate into a nature. And this one is not a person, no. It's a karmic nature. That's why everyone is unique. Every life you come, you accumulate differently. And you take different birth. And all of your conditioning and your past are very different. So that's why this karmic nature is unique to everyone. So this is the one that has a lot of bearing on the form and mind. Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. Then apart from this karmic nature, because this one is the one that drives, there is another part that also drives. We call it the spiritual nature. Spiritual nature. This one is your Sambhogayakaya. Which finally become your spiritual nature. This one depend on your cultivation. Just now the third advice, remember? Purify your mind. That is meditation. That is cultivation. That is perfection. So if you can perfect until you can become a Sammasambuddha, then this spiritual nature is perfect. Understand? So just now, Brother Pang asked, he said, I mentioned in the book, not everybody has perfected this. Understand? Now you understand. Sainthood also haven't touched how to perfect this. After Arahant, still got a 10 perfection to go. No? So that's why this one, not everybody have. But this one, the Buddha never say you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. No, the Buddha never say that. This one, unwritten and unspoken, only cultivated, no. That's why the Buddha said there is a Buddha nature, true nature. He just mentioned this. That's not. And this one also not you. this one also anatta. Because it's a nature, it's not a being. That's why I always tell you, not in the book, this one cannot come out and live. Understand? But this one is not an entity. This is the unconditioned. This one is not something tangible. Understand? And this one is accumulated in the unconditioned world. It's not within the conditioned world. Understand? That's why this perfection is all very beyond. It's the unconditioned and no duality, nothing on. But this one is very powerful. This one, when you have the ability to silence this mind, and this is the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, and this is the culprit. When you can silence this flaw, that's why meditation is all about this. When you can, I think of CE. I learned from Susan. He said it should be silence. When you have the ability to make it silent, when there is this deep silence, you will connect to this nature. But this one is without thought, without mind. It's only when thought cease, then you can touch the true mind, the true nature. This is the first thing that manifests from this is the pure awareness without its content. That's why it's the awareness, just aware, nothing. Can you understand? So when it's just aware, it cannot come out. Awareness, how to come out and live. It's not a form of mind. But this awareness is very powerful because it can see things as they are. It don't have words. It don't have concept. It don't have idea. It got no delusion, nothing. It is just pure awareness. And it can awaken to phenomena. It can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. That's why this one without thought is the real meditative mind. This silent mind is the meditative mind. That's why all of meditation you need to silence. Then you touch this, then it can develop the direct seeing, then it can awaken. Yeah. But the funny thing about this spiritual nature is, even though you have cultivated to a certain extent, that's why a lot of cultivators, even those who have gone through the sainthood way, when they come, this one is actually there. But you cannot connect. Unless you can meditate until your mind completely silent or still. Then the moment it connects, you start to inherit this flow. And then all this will come back to you. What you have done in your past, what you have cultivated, what you have perfected. Yeah. But not everybody has perfected this. Understand? That's why even after you connect, you still find that how come your understanding is still like not what other people have. It's because very few people can develop this spiritual nature unless you are the true cultivator, the great Bodhisattva or the Buddhas. Yeah. Then that one, they have this nature almost perfected or already perfected, like the Sammasambuddha. So when they come, like Sakyamuni Buddha at the age of 35, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he connect and he awakened, this spiritual body come back to him. He inherited everything. That's why he became the fully enlightened one. And he completely understand what the unconditioned and the conditioned world is. That's why he become the Sammasambuddha. And you cannot say how come overnight he become like that. You must know how long he has perfected this. Understand? How many eons he has perfected this. That's why you have not even done much here. Yeah? You expect you connect and understand everything. Cannot. That's why initially you have to really make your basic vow. Basic vow. Then later on, perfect your vow. The four basic vow of the Bodhisattva, to walk the path of Bodhisattva, to become Sammasambuddha. So the four basic vows, for those who attend the 2nd of January class, I think we have mentioned it. Eh? So they are very basic but very important. Yeah. The first one is you vow to liberate all beings. But later on, when you understand there is no living being to be liberated, not even one in the Diamond Sutta. But initially, you have to do that because otherwise you cannot come back. The Bodhisattva cannot come back and take birth because they are already enlightened beings. So when you are really enlightened, when you die, you don't have rebirth consciousness. So when you don't have rebirth consciousness, then how you come back? How you come back? You have to make vow. That's why you vow out of compassion for the world to liberate all living beings and take them across. And that is love and compassion. And this is a pure mind, but without delusion. That's why they don't take rebirth consciousness. They are not reborn through ignorance. But because of that vow, the Bodhisattva vow, they will have the causes and conditions to come back. Means that karmic nature is still there because they already awakened. They have developed the complete training and understanding of the conditional. That's why they became enlightened being, and their karmic nature very strong. Most of these arahant and beyond, their karmic nature already very well developed and very strong. And because of that, when they make this type of vow, they can come back. Because whatever that take conception is that pure mind, that love and compassion bring about through the vow. So when you vow to liberate the limitless living being, take them across, that is the vow of love and compassion. Then the second one is, you vow to endure all the vexation and suffering. Understand? Because to do this work, you have to go through a lot of suffering. But like what the Buddha explained, the moment you connect, you don't suffer anymore. Understand? But before you connect, oh, the five aggregate of form in mind, you remember the Buddha at the age of 29, renounced the world, leave the palace. What happened to him for 6 years? Self-mortification. He suffered anything, you know. He went through all the austere practices and all those things. He endured so much things. That's why he has to go through all those. But the moment he connect, he doesn't have to suffer anymore. So cultivation is like that. You have to vow to endure all suffering and vexation. And this one, you don't have the patience and the understanding that this is just not you. You cannot do one. That's why you always say, oh, you can sacrifice until there are talk, until no rest, nothing. It's not me. It's that nature that has this form in mind. That's why when there is condition, it will continue to manifest. Then he understands this one is not him. That's why you cannot say, wow, how come people can do that? You know, easy, you know, all this thing. All your thought will tell you. But when you are in it, it is very natural, understand? It's part of your nature. It's part of what you vow to come for. That's why you will do it. And it's not difficult. Then the third basic vow is what? What is the third basic vow? You vow to penetrate all the teachings. You vow to penetrate and perfect all of the teaching and the understanding. If you don't make that vow, you cannot be a Sammasambuddha. You cannot actually teach also. You have to penetrate all teachings. Otherwise, you think easy to teach living beings. Everyone is so weird or no, so different or no. Oh, and some so hardcore. Oh, then coming obstruction. All sorts of obstruction. Oh, so how? If you are not penetrated on dhammas and all cultivation, you cannot teach, you cannot do this work. And then the last one is perfect the 10 perfection to become Samasambuddha. So these 4 basic vow you start. Then as you progress, you will know your speciality, and then you evolve. You come out with more and more of this vow, which is your speciality. That's why everybody sattva, they got different fantastic vow. Then everyone after they perfect, even Amitabha Buddha, the vow is so heavy. If Amitabha Buddha can perfect it, all of the other bodhisattvas' vow is chicken feet, I tell you. Oh, because his vow is very heavy one. That's why he took the longest, 12 world cycle. You know what he vowed? No? He vowed that every pure land that he built, he doesn't vow to build any samsara. No? He called it pure land. No? Why is it called pure land? Because within his world system, there is no this 4 woeful state. You know what are the 4 woeful state? No? Below the human right. There is no demon right. There is no animal right. There is no beta. There is no hell. A star bodhisattva only vow to clear the hell of all hell beings. So this one, he vow, he said, if any of this pure land that he built has any of these 4 rhymes, he vowed not to be a Samasambuddha. It is worse than a star bodhisattva, no? Until the hell is clear. His one not only hell, no? The hungry ghost, the animal, and the demon also gone now. And yet he perfected it, no? And he not only one pure land, no? You go and listen to their teaching. The Amitabha Sutta. The Mandarin version, I heard of them singing. Yeah. He said, the lotus, yi tuo, means one lotus, yi jing tu. You know what is that? No? Every lotus become a pure land. Then he said, the lotus flower, lian hua, chu chu kai. Lotus flower sprouting everywhere. Then, yi tuo, yi jing tu, no? Every lotus become a pure land, no? That's why it's limitless. Such a vow also, he can fulfill. No? All the other bodhisattva's vow is actually chicken feet. That's why I say Amitabha can do it. All the bodhisattva can do it. That's why I say it's not so difficult. But people who don't understand use the thought crazy. For eons, no? A lot of people say what? Especially you heard some book in the Theravada teaching, halfway they decide to what? Cut short. Don't want to continue. They go arahant way. You heard of a lot, like that one. I mean, it's up to the individual, up to your understanding. You think it's very hard, then it's very hard. Because the thought says so. But when the nature, just like one of my teachers used to tell me, you see, he said, when you understand all this, you become different. Because he said, the nature of all these great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they are ever radiating for who? For the sincere cultivator of the way. Their nature, their vow, they will support you all the way. That's why you say it's difficult, it's not difficult. But you have to be a sincere cultivator. That's why if there is this sincerity, it will pave the way. If there is faith, there is sincerity, and there is perseverance, the way is there. Nothing is impossible. Okay? Wow, another 5 minutes. You all should thank Pang for the question. See? put up your hand, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because if you don't ask, there is no condition. And you better make full use of what you have. Understand? This form of mind is not going to last that long, I tell you. Or anytime things can happen. So while it is still around for you to make use of, you better make use of. Yeah. Even your own form of mind, don't assume that you will hit 80. Sakyamuni Buddha sacrificed so much, also hit 80. I don't sacrifice so much, I sure go beyond 80. You can think like that. Then you say, oh, the disciple or hit 120, maybe I 100 and now. I tell you, beyond 80 is miserable. Old age, sickness and death, this form. Yeah. While it's still in the right, appropriate condition, healthy, make full use of it. Before it is too old, too weak and too fragile to serve you. Then strive on with heedfulness so that you can develop this understanding where this light, this window is the most beautiful. Then you vow life after life when you come back or you choose to come back or have to come back, you must have this understanding, determined. Then you become beautiful. But if you take it easier and can tell you, you miss this window, you are going to be lost for a long, long time again. Then later on, when you succeed, you look back. Oh, you last time so foolish. So heedless. After attending all this class and those who understand advise you, you somewhat take it like easy. Not serious about it. Because this understanding is very difficult to come by, and when you have such beautiful condition, this window, like the Buddha said, to be born as a human being is already very rare. The turtle egg, with the turtle surfacing once 100 years in the ocean, as big as the 4 oceans in this Jambuwapi, is it every 100 years the turtle surface? You expect that turtle head to go in direct into that turtle eggshell hole. I tell you, it's near. Don't know how slim a chance. Really slim. It's eons. Oh, blind turtle some more. Even not blind also, I tell you, the shell can be anywhere. There is an ocean, no? Every day, every second your surface is also very hard to hit. Every 100 years you surface one. That's why the opening verse, Chenhua, is it 500 million of eons to come across this type of teaching. I now see it, hear it. That's why I vow to phantom. People make the type of vow, that's why they are so serious, because they know this is very rare. Then the Mahayana got this saying, is very good, is it? Zhen sen nan de, means to be born as a human is already very rare, like the example given by Sakyamuni and the Theravada, the blind turtle and all that. Then fo fa nan wen, the Buddha sasana is really very rare to come across. You look at our world system, supposed to have 4 Samasambuddha. But each Samasambuddha that arises, their sasana is only 4,000 over to 5,000 years. And this frame, time frame, compared to the universal time is very, very small window. Our, this planet Earth, is supposed to be how many billion years? Scientists, they estimate at least 7 billion years. Then after 7 billion, you only have one sasana, 4 to 5,000 years in between. Now that you are born a human being, and you some more Buddhist, you know, come across the sasana. You see, this is a very, very rare opportunity, a very rare window. And you hit it already, and you're not too old yet. And yet you let it slip away. You know. See? When you understand, you really, really tell yourself, this is like, not only strike lottery, you know. You know the chance of this window happening is actually very, very rare. You know? That's why I say all of you are, you only don't know who you are. You have your parami. Otherwise you cannot be born during this era and have this condition. Inside that transcript I got mentioned, quite a number of you may still not know who you are, but the moment you connect and you move, you become very different. You will move very fast. Then you will have this joy inside. Then you thank your good karma. And you are not here by chance, I tell you. You have your parami. Otherwise, you cannot be born as a human being and come into contact with the Buddha Sasana. But because many of these cultivators, I realize, they have karmic obstruction. Because for aeons and aeons of birth and death, you certain life, many life, not certain life, do stupid things without you knowing it. And all these are already in the past. What can you do? And this type of cultivation is very strange. Huh? Not until you connect. Your karma will always fall. But the moment you connect, your karma will all the way up. You won't fall. Then your spiritual nature will develop. That's why this one is, the moment you are heedless, you fall. You remember when we are young, the snake and ladder? You played that before that. Wow, when you strike a ladder, you're very happy. You'll go all the way up. Or not. But the moment you cannot that long snake, you come back to square one. So I like that snake and ladder. Your cultivation is like that. The moment you are heedless, you follow that snake down. But the moment you understand, everywhere you go, got ladder on. People help you. You like very lucky, very blessed. That's why merits and blessing are very important. And all this comes from understanding, cultivation with understanding. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. 10:34. We exceed a bit. Never mind. We will do the sharing of merits. Then, after that, transform merit. Then, make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasadukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish or the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Thank you.